Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. Today, we will be covering Season 1, Episode 18 of The Vampire Diaries, and the episode title is Under Control. Before we start covering the episode, I'm just going to give you a brief intro podcast update for the first 3-4 minutes. So last week we did take another 1-week hiatus from Vampire Diaries content, and we took a look at 2 movies. So we compared the Swedish movie Let the Right One In and the American remake Let Me In, and the reason why is because the previous TVD episode title was named after this movie. And so, yeah, it's kind of been hiatus after hiatus covering other vampire content, but as I mentioned before, we are going to be finishing season 1 without any breaks. So including today's episode, which we covered, there's 5 more episodes left, and after that I have lots of special bonus content regarding season 1. So in the previous episode, episode 17, we had lots of tomb vampire action, but this time there was no tomb vampires featured in this episode. It was very much focused around the founding families and the main cast, the main original cast. And in the previous episode, Vicky's body was found. So now it's a public news that Vicky has not left town, but she is very much dead. And that has affected Jeremy a lot. And we also saw Stefan and his addiction to human blood. This episode was yet another good one. I mean, because we're reaching the end of the season, you know, every episode is going to be jam-packed, full of drama. We were introduced to Jonathan. We were introduced to John Gilbert. And we got lots of humor and action from Damon as well. Jeremy has also found out some secrets, and Stefan is very much not under control. If I'm completely honest, I've been having some doubts recently. I mean, I think I mentioned last week how I've been in a rut regarding this podcast. The podcast was growing a lot, like, last month. And for some reason, it just hasn't been growing as well. And now I'm kind of getting conscious that, you know, I'm just not entertaining enough. I'm not suited for podcasts. And I read somewhere that 90% of podcasts, I'm not sure the exact percentage, if it was like 90% or something, but the majority of podcasts don't survive over a year. And at first, I didn't really think anything about it. You know, I loved Vampire Diaries. I love talking about it. So I thought, you know, that wouldn't happen, but now I kind of see where this is coming from, because it, even though I really enjoy this topic and I'm so passionate about the show, when you don't get results, it can be really demotivating. It can really unmotivate you. I've had that with my YouTube and my other social medias before, but I'm trying not to think about the numbers and just doing this for the sake of researching about the show and talking about it. So yeah, I think, you know, doing a solo podcast is also really, really hard, and it would be great to have someone to do the podcast with. I mean, my partner has been a special guest in a few episodes, and he will be in the future, but realistically, it's just not something he can sit down and do every week because he's extremely busy. So yeah, I'm going to continue doing this, but kind of still in a rut right now. But yeah, as I said, we're continuing with season 1, and after season 1, I am going to take a small break in between season 2, and I'm going to cover, so basically for the Swedish movie Let the Right One In, there was a TV series released last year. This is the American TV series, and it got cancelled after season 1, so I'm not sure if the story is, like, completed or not, but and I thought I may as well cover that series in my small hiatus between the 2 seasons, seeing as I did watch both the movies. And if there's any other things you'd like me to cover, please let me know. Obviously, I can't do a TV series, like a super long TV series like True Blood or something, because I don't want to take too long of a hiatus. So maybe like movies or like 1 season worth of series. If there's anything, please let me know. A new app has been introduced for social media, and that app is called Threads. So obviously it's like the, you know, Instagram version of Twitter, and I did have a Twitter account for this podcast, but I haven't tweeted in months. And, you know, I thought Threads would be a good way to connect and talk about vampires, But it's hard to connect, actually. Like, your timeline is filled with people you don't follow, but it's hard to gain reach and engagement. But if you do want to ever talk about the Vampire Diaries, please come on. Please come on to my threads and, you know, we can start a discussion. Right now, my threads is connected to, like, my main account. So, yeah. Not sure if I should make another threads or not. I mean, for the first 2 days, the app was really busy. Like, everyone was using it. But now it's, like, kind of died, I guess. So, yeah. Not too sure about that. And then one last thing regarding my podcast. So, in my podcast, I always have my favorite and least favorite character segment. And I really enjoy that. Don't worry, I'm not getting rid of it. But I wanted to vamp it up a bit. I wanted to change the title of it. From this episode, we're changing the segment title to the character I want to stake the most and the character that I want to turn the most. So obviously, least favorite character is the character that I want to stake. And because the character is my favorite, I want to turn them, because turning them into a vampire would mean that they live forever. So yes, from today, we're calling it staking, we're calling it turning and staking segment. Okay, so let's get into the episode. So for today, we of course have a guest star. So Jonathan Gilbert is introduced to the show. He is played by David Anders, and David Anders has quite a huge filmography. From Wikipedia, I picked up that he was on some CSI shows, CSI episodes. He was on a show called Heroes, which I've never watched. He was on 24. 24 is a show that is in my to-watch list. From the fact that I watched The Lost Boys 2 months ago, and David, the main vampire, played by Kiefer Sutherland, is the main character of 24. And I think somebody else was in 24. So Isabel, Mia, played by Mia Kirshner, she also had a recurring role in 24, which is interesting because Isabel and Jonathan Gilbert may or may not have a connection, which we find out later on. So yeah, 24 is in my to watch list, but as you know, I'm an avid TV watcher. I have an endless list, and so I haven't been able to watch it yet. Last time I think I told you I was watching Desperate Housewives. I finished that. Have been struggling to find shows since then. And right now I'm actually binging all the 90 Day Fiancé spin-offs. So there's so many. I'm watching the actual OG 90 Day Fiancé. Yeah, and then all the spin-offs. So it's entertaining. It's light. It's good when you're tired. You know, don't really need to concentrate on watching it. And he also, so David Anders also has a main role in a TV series called iZombie. Never watched that either. So apart from that, there's no guest stars in particular. So let's start by taking a look at the plot for this episode. We begin the episode with Stefan. He's working out. He's trying out like some kind of self-detox, basically keeping himself busy, trying to do anything to avoid human blood, to avoid this addiction. And, you know, Damon's just like, you know, he doesn't see what the problem is. He doesn't see why Stefan has to be so self-righteous. It's not like you have to kill a human to feed on blood, which is a good point, you know. And Damon mentions that he hasn't killed anyone in ages. He's just been feeding on blood bags, and that's what blood banks are for. I think it's way better than killing animals. Like, no, everyone says, you know, just feed on blood bags, then you don't have to kill humans. But what about the animals, okay? Like, what about these cute squirrels, these cute animals that you are killing, Stefan? So if I was a vampire, I wouldn't want to kill any animals. I wouldn't want to kill any humans. I would just live on blood bags. No one ever mentions the animals, but, you know, I'm going to make a statement and say that I really feel bad for those animals that Stefan is, you know, draining of blood, okay? And it appears that Damon himself is really confused, and he doesn't know why Stefan is so against human blood, why he can't just control himself and drink it at a moderate amount, which I'm confused about, because I've watched the series, and I think I remembered it differently. I thought that Damon knew why Stefan quit human blood, so kind of confused there. But of course, as we watch the series, I'll be able to see if I was correct or I just misremembered it or not. So Stefan references the episode title. He actually says he's got everything under complete control, which he obviously hasn't, as we see throughout the episode. And, you know, Damon isn't really helping it. He's kind of teasing Stefan with this situation, which isn't the best, because if this was a real, human addiction, if this was a human addicted to alcohol, you know, Damon just leaves the blood cup on purpose and comes back to get it. Like, oops, I forgot. But if this was a real human addiction, if this was a human addicted to alcohol or drugs, it's not the best thing to do. Meanwhile, at the Gilbert house, we have a new house guest. So John Gilbert arrives. He is the uncle of Jeremy and Elena, and he is their father's brother. We see throughout the episode, everyone who, you know, talks about John basically dislikes him. Even Matt says that he never really liked the guy. And the reason why he's back is because he's here to handle some business. And he's also against Jenna selling the apothecary. So if you remember a few episodes back, I think it was like two episodes back, Jenna showed the apothecary to Pearl. And, you know, obviously the apothecary is originally Pearl's. She owned it back in 1864. And the OG Jonathan Gilbert stole it off of her. But I do actually side with John on this one. So basically, Jenna was planning on just selling it off. But she's not really in the position to be able to do that, because technically this is the apothecary, or this building is actually Jeremy's and Elena's. So they inherited it because their parents passed away. But because they're still minors, the person who's in charge of it is John Gilbert, because he is the estate trustee. And I have to agree with John on this one. So obviously, I side with Pearl on her wanting it back, because this is going to get confusing, but obviously I side with Pearl for wanting it back because she was the original owner in 1864. But for modern day situation, Jenna versus John, I side with John, because Jenna's selling it off now while they're still minors. You know, who knows, when they're adults, they might want, you know, their parents' practice. They might want it. So I agree with John saying that it's not good to sign over the papers. It's good to keep it in the family because it is a family property. We have lots of Matt and Elena scenes actually this time. And again, as usual, there's no classes. Like in the first few episodes, it was very much a high school drama. I think I mentioned to you how, you know, some people get bored of The Vampire Diaries when they first watch it because they think it's just one of those teen high school soap operas. But, you know, I told you guys to keep watching because it becomes very dramatic, full of supernatural things and storylines. But at the same time, it's very strange how they transition. So they had so many classes in the beginning of the series, and now we only see them in the hallways, or we see them in Alaric's classroom. You know, Matt is just thanking Elena for just being there for him after finding out about Vicky's death, which is ironic because, you know, Elena has known about this death for a very, very long time. She was hiding it, so not really sure what to think about that one. So Caroline was absent from this episode, as was Bonnie, and the storyline is basically that Caroline is visiting her dad, so she's gone, and Matt is saying that his mom is happy because, you know, she was getting tired of Caroline's constant baking and cooking, so, you know, Caroline was really trying her best to help them out. Outside the school, on the school grounds, we see Jeremy back in those school grounds again, where all the druggies used to be, where he used to deal drugs. He's like, he's exactly like his depressed self again, like he was in the pilot episode. And we see Tyler come next to him offering a smoke or something, but Jeremy turns him down. So even though he's depressed over Vicky's death, he's not over, what is it called again? Oh, he's not relapsing. That's the word. He's not relapsing, which is growth, I think. There's kind of like this bonding moment between Jeremy and Tyler. You know, they have the mutual topic of Vicky and the grief of her death. I kind of like the friendship that's forming. I mean, well, the friendship isn't forming, but I kind of like that, how they're, you know, getting along with each other. And Jeremy is talking about how he's suspicious on whether Vicky really OD'd or not, because he said that Vicky was getting better, which is true. You know, from Jeremy's point of view, it's like Vicky was recovering, she was doing good, they were together. So he just doesn't believe it. And it's an ongoing theme. You know, Jeremy is telling everyone that he doesn't believe that this is the real truth. Changing settings, we're introduced to a building called the Mystic Falls Founders Hall. And can I just say, I love the exterior. It's really my aesthetic. I have to admit, I completely forgot that this building even existed. I didn't even know it existed, so I obviously wasn't watching properly. I never knew that there was a Founders Hall, and I'm not quite sure if this building is used again, to be honest. I mean, it was the setting for today's party, today's event, but I don't remember us seeing it again. So I'm gonna have to look that up afterwards to see if they use the building again or not. So basically, they're having a council meeting there, and John is at the meeting. He's talking about how nothing is solved. Vampires are still very much in town because a nearby town's blood bag was raided. So the vampires are still here. And Damon's like, wait, Gilbert as in Gilbert as in Elena Gilbert. And you know, Liz says that he is Elena and Jeremy's uncle. And it appears that even Liz dislikes John. So they call him the favorite son, the town's favorite son later on, but he's not really the favorite son by the looks of it. Back at the school, Alaric finally shows the paper on vampires that Jeremy wrote. He shows it to Elena, which has been quite a few episodes back that he finished this paper. But he says, you know, are you sure that Jeremy doesn't know anything? And Elena's like, no, there's no way he'd know anything. And ironically, Alaric asks how Elena does it. How does she keep up with it? How does she keep on lying? Which is so ironic because I think it was Vicky's death episode. Elena says she can't do this. She can't lie to her loved ones. But now she's completely done a 180. Now she's saying she lies to protect them. It's better for them, basically. But is it really better for them? Because at the end, we see that Jeremy finds out, and if he ended up finding out, was it really a smart idea to lie? And we also, so it's nighttime now, and you know, John is having dinner with Jeremy, and he talks about how the Gilberts, you know, have very much a prominent family in the history of Mystic Falls. And he says that in the future, he will teach him more about family history, the legacy, which I think is vampires. So I think it's a family tradition for the Gilberts. Well, actually, the other founding families too. Generation by generation, they pass down this knowledge of vampires. So when Jeremy's the right age, John wants to teach him too, especially because he's the last man of. But especially because he's the only man of the family now as well. And Jeremy is confused as to why Jenna dislikes John so much. And it's here that John reveals that they used to sleep together. Wow, you can tell that it's really a small town because everyone knows everyone. Everyone went to the same school and everyone dates the same people. So yeah, I didn't remember this fact, so I was shocked to hear it. And it's so weird. Jenna really doesn't have a good taste in men, does she? I mean, there's Logan, and then there's John, and then there's Alaric. So I guess Alaric's the only normal one, but then again, he has his own like mystery going on as well. Meanwhile, upstairs in the bedroom, Stefan and Elena are talking together. They start to get intimate, and Stefan gets vampires out of nowhere, and in order to prevent himself from doing something, he vamp speeds against the wall, crashing down things. And I mean, the house isn't that big. They probably, you know, the downstairs people probably would have heard noises, right? I assume. But that was kind of brushed over until Damon notices it, which is in the next scene. Just took a break to do some research on the Mystic Falls Founders Hall because I was getting curious. And according to Vampire Diaries Wiki, it was mentioned, oh sorry, it appears only 4 times throughout the whole series, throughout the whole 8 seasons. So actually in the next episode, there is a Mystic Falls event and it is used in that episode as well. After that, we don't see this hole until season 3 or 4. And then in the final season, it makes a final appearance, which is really a shame because I love the visuals, I love the appearances. And but I guess as the series progresses, there's not as many Founders Party related events, if I can remember. Elena has called Damon because she's worried about Stefan, and Damon throws yet another good comment. So he says on purpose in front of Jeremy that, "No, Elena, I will not go to your bedroom with you." And you know, Jeremy doesn't even look surprised. He's just like, okay, she's up to something again. And so they go to her room. She's trying to talk about how she's worried about Stefan. Damon just goes into the bedroom and lies on the bed. And oh my gosh, okay, one of my pet peeves is he has his shoes still on. It's really a pet peeve of mine, you know, shoes on the bed, like even outside clothes, I never wear on the bed. So I have this thing where if I'm on the bed and it's not nighttime, like I just want to chill, like after being out all day or doing something, I always change my clothes before I go onto the bed. It's just this thing where I don't want to be wearing the same pants, the same denim shorts that I've been wearing and sitting outside in public places. I don't want to be putting those germs onto the bed. It's just a thing of mine. He notices the damage which Stefan caused the other night. Or is it the same night? I'm not sure. He says, "What happened there is in regarding to the destroyed items." Elena brushes it off, but she talks about Stefan. Damon's like, "You know, give it a few days." And Elena's like, "Well, it's been a few days." And then Damon's like, "Well, give it some more time." He makes a really correct statement here. He says, "The Stefan that you knew up until now was the Stefan that was fighting against his nature to an annoyingly obsessive level." So it's his, not human nature, it's his nature as a vampire to want to feed on blood. That's why, you know, they have to drink blood to survive. But he avoids human blood at an obsessive level, like just one drop and it's like the end of the world. So it's like an OCD, like overly obsessive thing that's going on with him. Because we see with other vampires that they can just feed on human blood and they don't have to kill everyone they see. We see it with Anna, we see it with Damon. You know, Damon doesn't really kill to feed. It's more about killing because he's bored, or like killing because somebody's in the way of his plan. You know, he can control the blood. It's not about the bloodlust. You know, we are shown a scene of Stefan at the Salvador house and he's drinking alcohol. We see him drinking all throughout the episodes. I guess it's a way to kind of calm his cravings down. He did mention when Vicky was transitioning that coffee helps vampires, it warms their veins. Alcohol can curb the cravings too. So he's taking his own advice. It's the next day and we get a scene with Jeremy and Elena. So they're walking. Elena finally tells Jeremy that she is adopted. So it's been a few episodes since she found out, but as she mentioned to Stefan, you know, they used to be really close siblings. They used to tell each other everything, but because she's keeping so many secrets, I guess it's hard for her to be as close because she's keeping these lies. So it's awkward. And at the same time, she doesn't want to slip up and say anything. You know, Jeremy seems to be fine with it. He doesn't seem to mind that she's adopted. You know, they think that it won't change anything because the both of them have grown up together. So then Elena kind of switches the topic and says that she heard from Alaric that Jeremy was doing great in history, and in particular, the vampire paper he enjoyed. So she's asking what made him, you know, do this paper. She's trying to dig up information. The next part of the episode is the main event. So as we know, the Vampire Diaries, well, the town of Mystic Falls always has some kind of event going on. Nearly every episode we see a big event that the episode is revolved around. This time it is the Founders Party. So they have 1 month till the Founders Day. So apparently there's lots of celebrations and events to kick off to celebrate this day. But it does seem like a fun town to me if they have these many parties and events going on. But if you're not a Founders family, it's probably not nice because there's a whole segregation going on. I mean, we see that the Donovans are invited to this party, but usually they're not. So if you're not a Founders family, I could imagine it to be pretty awkward and you'd feel left out. because all these events are going on and like you're never invited. So because Vicky passed away, I guess they feel bad. So even though the Donovans aren't founding family members, they're invited. We don't see Carol though. So we didn't see Carol in this episode. We only saw Tyler and the mayor. But if you remember in episode 4, it was a founders event, which I forgot. The founders heirlooms, like when they had all those heirlooms. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was a founder's party. Founder's ball. Yeah, founder's ball. Carol called Vicky trash. Richard probably is on the same page with Carol. They probably look down on the Donovans, but, you know, as he said before, when he wanted to be friendly with Pearl, like, elections are coming up. He's trying to keep up a good image, maintain a good appearance, so he's inviting them. We see Matt and Tyler. Tyler's stolen some alcohol and they go off to drink it together and they seem really close. On the dance floor, you know, Elena's surprised that Stefan is being all bubbly. He's being more social, the opposite to the sober Stefan. And Stefan's like, well, just enjoy it. And he's saying that the alcohol is curbing his cravings. So they should enjoy it while it lasts, basically. And he's saying that they should dance. So he goes off to ask the DJ to change the song, and Kelly says to Elena that it's not gonna work. She tried to bribe the DJ with $20 and a date. We know Kelly's personality by now. We know what kind of a person she is, but I just find it funny that in order to change a song, she's willing to just go on a date with this random guy and pay $20. But the DJ said no, so he was really adamant on following Carol Lockwood's rules, I guess, which I don't blame him, because we remember in episode 4, Carol is, you know, telling off one of the servers about the candles or something. But of course, Stefan has a special skill that Kelly doesn't, which is compulsion. So he compels the DJ to change the song, and then from then on, the music becomes very uplifting. From then on, the music is pretty upbeat, and we get some really, really good tunes in this episode. So it's worked, you know, Stefan compels, everyone's happy, everyone's dancing. We see him dancing with Kelly. And then we see Damon approach Liz, and, you know, he compliments Liz. He really makes her feel good about herself. You know, he says that he likes a woman in uniform, but he really likes how she looks in the dress. And you see Liz look genuinely happy. She feels kind of insecure after, you know, the divorce, probably, about how, you know, her own husband left her for another man. So she's probably a little insecure, and she's always in her uniform. So she doesn't really enjoy enjoy being in non-uniform. And I just really like their friendship. I think in the beginning, Damon was obviously just being close to Liz on purpose for his own benefit to conceal his identity. But I genuinely feel like there is a friendship going on there. And, you know, even Liz says it later on that, even Liz tells him later on that she had her doubts about him to begin with, but she really trusts and likes him now. And I like this platonic relationship, like no romance, just two adults having a friendship. It's really nice to see. And It's conflicting, because Damon shows that he cares sometimes. He shows that he cares of humans, but then he has this other identity where he doesn't. So it's like you don't see him as a full-on villain. So continuing on with Damon and Liz, you know, Damon is saying that he's really starting to feel like it's home again. He's enjoying being in Mystic Falls. And I genuinely think that that's the truth. I feel that Damon has really grown to like the town again. I feel that before, he despised the town. He despised the founding family members because of this vengeance, because of this hatred that he held towards them. He blamed them for what happened to Catherine. Finding out that she could have found him, she knew where he was, but purposely was avoiding him, purposely didn't try to contact him in any way, has caused him to see a different light towards the town. I think he's enjoying his life now. That's why he doesn't enjoy anyone trying to disrupt it. You know, Alaric, first it was Alaric, now it's John Gilbert. He just wants to live in peace, I guess. Jeremy approaches them and is asking them about the investigation on Vicky. He's saying that things don't add up. He doesn't believe that it was really an overdose. And meanwhile, back on the dance floor, Elena and Stefan are dancing together. They're having fun. She accidentally bumps into this random guy. The random guy gets really pissed off, tells her to watch out, says that maybe she shouldn't be on the dance floor. Stefan compels him to apologize, but doesn't feel that the first apology was genuine. So he compels him twice. He compels him again to say sorry, but this time to mean it. We have an epic song start playing. I love this song. Like, prior to this episode, I loved Paramore. Paramore is like my childhood, okay? If you're Twilight fans, which I'm sure many of the Vampire Diaries fans probably are, you know, Paramore released some really good tunes for Twilight as well. But this song, Brick by Boring Brick, I love. Brick by Boring Brick is a really good song, and it just really fitted the whole tempo of the storyline. And with that, we have a special guest on this episode. It is yet again my Frenchie. So my Frenchie is making some snoring, snuffling kind of noises. So yes, he is my unofficial guest of the show. I wonder if it bugs you guys. If it does, I'm sorry to hear these Frenchie noises. For me, being a Frenchie owner, if I hear Frenchie or pug or bulldog sniffling noises, it doesn't get to me at all. I actually think it's comforting ASMR. So sorry if it bugs you guys, but I do know another Vampire Diaries podcast that I watch. It's called The Vampiti Diaries. It's this married couple, and the wife, she's watched The Vampire Diaries prior to the podcast. The husband, it's his first time watching, and I really, really enjoy that podcast. It's so entertaining, and that's kind of what made me want to do the podcast more with my partner, because they seem like they have so much fun, and they have a pug who is also sometimes a guest of the podcast. So yeah, shout out to that podcast. Really, really enjoy it. So during this Paramore song, basically a lot happens. First, we have Damon and Elena talking together at the bar. Elena's saying she's worried about Stefan again. Damon's like, more than that, he's worried about Jeremy, and he's worried that Jeremy's asking questions. And he's just, I love his dry humor, which he's had throughout the whole series. He's like, who would bury Vicky? Me. And then he's like, maybe I can compel Jeremy, but he's got that Vervain bracelet on. And Elena's like, no more compulsion. She doesn't want to touch compulsion anymore. She doesn't want him to be compelled any more than he already is. And, you know, then Damon takes one of the roses and gives it to Elena. Then we see Kelly secretly trying to see if no one is looking and throwing a glass into the plant, which Tyler sees. And then, you guys, we have the Damon and John Gilbert scene on the balcony. This is a really good scene. So we have them being really fake cordial at the start. Like, they're being fake nice, introducing each other, saying how long they've been in Mystic Falls, when's the last time they've been. John just drops this line. He says, it feels like it's 1864 all over again. This is like the year. Like, if you don't know 1864, you'll fail history tests, basically. 1864 is where all the drama has happened in this town, and John knows about it. And he also knows that Damon set the tomb vampires free. So Damon's like, you know, I'd bite you, but you're probably on Vervain right now. And John is taunting him, saying, well, why don't you take a bite and see? And then the music starts beating up to the end. I love this part of Brick by Boring Brick. It's like the last 30 seconds when like the drums start beating really quickly. And to the music, Damon snaps John's neck and John falls off the balcony and he's dead. And when I first watched the episode many, many years ago, I think I thought that John was dead. And that's why I was really shocked when I saw him come back into the Founders Hall. But after analyzing it, I kind of feel that John wanted him to be provoked on purpose so he could show off the ring's skills. That's the vibe I'm getting now, because I feel that John surely would know that Damon's a vampire, he's strong. Plus, by provoking him this much and saying that he knows the truth, Damon would want to get rid of him. So I feel that John wanted to provoke Damon to the point of killing just to show that he has an upper hand, that he has this ring. And I also think that John is a very cunning, sneaky, clever personality. He has that kind of personality. So he wouldn't provoke without having protection. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it. And so Elena and Jeremy are talking, and Jeremy keeps on pestering Elena about Vicky's death. He's saying things don't add up. Elena's starting to get tired of it. At first, she was trying her best to kind of like conceal the facts, but she's just getting fed up. So she's like, let it go, whatever it was. And Jeremy gets suspicious. So he's like, whatever it was. So you do think that something else happened. And Elena corrects herself. Even though they're not blood related, you know, they're technically siblings. Jeremy is suspicious. He knows when his sister is hiding a secret. He's like, you're not looking at me into my eyes. And obviously the suspicion takes him to go to further lengths, which we see in near the end of the episode. So back at the party, Elena and Matt are hugging again. You can see that Matt is really all over Elena, but he also knows that he's crossing boundaries, so that's why he says that he needs some air. So they go out to walk together, and they spot, what do they spot? They spot Kelly and Tyler making out together. Kelly's hit another low. Kelly's hit a new low. So Matt hits Tyler, which is understandable because his best friend, his supposedly high school best friend, is making out with his mom. And Tyler goes crazy, gets really mad at Matt and starts hitting him repeatedly. And I'm like, okay, this should be the other way around. If Matt was the one hitting Tyler repeatedly, it would be understandable, because not only is Tyler making out with his mom, but he also screwed with his older sister and didn't treat her well. But we do see Tyler saying again later on, he doesn't know what happens to him, he can't explain it, but he can't control his anger. And I remember last time that happened, I think it was the career day event at the school. There was a full moon. They purposely had this long shot of the full moon above Tyler. This time I don't remember seeing a full moon, but I do feel like they're showing these scenes on purpose, like trying to build up the storyline that Tyler has some, you know, uncontrollable anger issues. So through the fight between Tyler and Matt, Kelly gets injured. She's bleeding from her forehead. Stefan smells the blood. He approaches Kelly. He starts to touch the blood on her forehead, and he sees what he's doing, so he runs off. And, you know, Kelly's probably too drunk to care. She's in too much of a mess right now to care what Stefan did. But outside, Stefan licks her blood, and he's clearly not in a good state. Jonathan Gilbert just walks back in to the party, and you see Damon's face is priceless. He is confused. Richard Lockwood, the mayor, introduces John as the town's favorite son, and he's here to ring a bell. And this bell I recognize straight away. I'm not sure if it's the same one. I mean, this isn't really going to reveal anything because it's a bell. I mean, there is a whole storyline, like a backstory behind this bell, which I won't go into, but I have seen this bell, and I specifically remember seeing it in the final season. So I think it's the same bell. I mean, they're not going to have that many bells, right? So it's a prominent bell that you'll see in season 8. So Damon goes up to Alaric, and it's like they're kind of friends. I kind of like this possible friendship between them. It's like they team up against the bad, basically, against vampires and now Jonathan Gilbert. So Damon's like, I think this is where Damon, you know, scans John. He notices the ring. And so Damon says to Alaric, like, look at that same ring. Look at that ring. Isn't it the same as yours? And then Alaric, first of all, thinks that it's just a coincidence. But then Damon says, yeah, it could be a coincidence. Apart from the fact that I just killed that guy and he's back up again. Damon thinks that he obviously also knows Isabel because, you know, Isabel gave birth to Elena at the Gilbert practice. And he's like, this is too much of a coincidence. Meanwhile, I'm guessing that Jeremy left the party early because he's in Elena's room, he's snooping around, and he finds Elena's diary behind the horse painting. And I think this is a typical trope that we use in TV series a lot, that things are usually hid behind paintings. One prominent time I can remember that I've seen is in Gossip Girl. So I've mentioned, you know, numerous amount of times how Gossip Girl was my first, you know, CW TV series that I really loved, that I watched in real time. And it's been quite a while since I rewatched it. I used to rewatch it every year. It was like an annual event. And I haven't watched it recently, so maybe I need to. We have this in Gossip Girl where Bart Bass, Chuck's dad, hides something behind a painting without revealing anything. I'll just say that. So he opens up the diary and he's kind of scanning through the pages, and we see the lines of bodies drained of blood and that Vicky was a monster. And talking about diaries, it's been quite a while since we've seen either Elena or Stefan write in their diaries. So anyways, Stefan is outside. He's really struggling. He bumps into the random guy again, and he's just about to attack the guy, but he hears Elena call for him, so he vamp speeds off. Meanwhile, Tyler's dad tells off Tyler. He says, "That's the last time you'll embarrass their family." He slaps Tyler, but Tyler is saying that he can't explain this anger. He doesn't know what's going on. And the fact that they make Tyler mention this again in a line obviously means that there's going to be an ongoing storyline towards it. And so the Founders Party is finished. We're into the last 5-6 minutes of the show. Matt is packing Kelly's things up. He's saying that he's better off without her. He tells her to leave. This is the episode where Kelly leaves, so she won't be here from the next episode. She will be mentioned, though, just not be physically there. And it is a sad moment, but at the same time, I can't help but agree with Matt, because it's not like she's paying the bills. It's been very clear that, you know, Kelly leaves when it's convenient to her. When she has a new guy, she leaves. If this was a one-time thing and she was just having a breakdown because her daughter died, then I probably would feel for her. But it's been an ongoing thing. We've seen this happen, that she really emotionally abuses Matt, like says that she has no one else, makes him feel bad for her, but she goes off when it's convenient, she drinks, she sleeps with all these guys, she doesn't pitch in for the bills, she makes her high school son, she makes her son still in high school work to pay the bills. So there's really no difference, to be honest, if she's there or not, because Matt's paying for everything. Would that be legal, though? Like, I'm not sure legally, like, if that's okay or not, but yeah. Basically, her being there is just a burden to Matt, which is true, because he keeps running into situations where she's there doing something inappropriate. You know, I'm all for, like, adults living their own lives, you know. Their life doesn't have to revolve around their child, but there's a time and a place for things, and she's clearly not being a mother to her son. So we see Damon and Alaric approaching Jonathan Gilbert outside the Founders Hall. And, you know, Jonathan Gilbert is saying that he has more knowledge than everyone. So they ask about the ring, and John says that he inherited one and he gave the other one to Isabel. Then he also reveals this bombshell that he was the one that sent Isabel to Damon, which is really shocking. Then he says, "Who did you think it was? Catherine Pierce?" So two bombshells there. He knows of Catherine Pierce, so which means that he knew that Catherine wasn't in the tomb. And he was the one that got Isabel to Damon. And he also calls Alaric Rick, which is obviously his nickname that only close ones to him would know. So lots and lots of mystery revolving John Gilbert. Him knowing all these secrets is only going to add more drama and suspense to the show. Back at home, Elena is checking in on Jeremy. Jeremy's being pretty cold and just brushing off Elena. He doesn't reveal that he's read her diary. And final scene is Damon and Stefan back in the Salvatore house. So Damon is sitting, having a drink. He's talking to Stefan, saying, "We have a problem. It's a global crisis." He's about to speak. He's about to tell him about Uncle John, sees Stefan's face and just sees that Stefan is not in the right headspace. He looks dead. Okay, even though he's a vampire and dead, he looks literally dead. And so, you know, Damon is just going to have to handle these problems by himself, I think. You know, Stefan, even if he tells Stefan, Stefan isn't really going to be able to do anything about it by the looks of it. Damon leaves his glass of blood, walks off. You see Stefan approach slowly to this glass, linger for a moment, and he drinks it. He gulps it up. It's very dramatic the way they show him drinking it. And I don't know, like, I'm guessing that human blood probably tastes way better than animal blood. I'm not really sure, but there must be some kind of difference because they really dramatize it. And so I'm guessing if it's like in the chocolate world, it would be like luxurious chocolate and Walmart chocolate. Like, that's the level of difference between animal blood and human blood, I'm assuming. So yeah, that was the end of this episode. So let's take a look at the reviews, some trivia facts, and I will summarize my final thoughts. IMDb, this episode was rated 8.1 out of 10, so it is actually slightly lower than the previous episode, episode 17. And comments regarding this episode. So one person mentioned it was a shame that we missed Vicky's funeral, and I do kind of feel that Vicky is really brushed off throughout the whole storyline in general. It is a shame that, like, even though her dead body was brought up in the previous episode, we completely missed out on her funeral. Another comment said that this whole situation between Stefan and Elena reminds them of Bella and Edward. And I kind of feel I vaguely remember a storyline that was similar, but simultaneously, I've only watched Twilight once or twice, and it's been like a good 5-6 years since I last saw it. So as I mentioned previously, I'm planning on covering the Twilight movie series, I think after season 2 of The Vampire Diaries. So that is when I can really dive in and compare Twilight to TVD. Another comment said that it was a really nice use of Paramore, and I have to agree, really nostalgic. I love the way they used it. I mean, I did say how the way they used Brick by Boring Brick and the ending part they used as like a build up to where Damon throws John off the balcony, you know, snaps his neck and kills him. It was so good. Like, the music I absolutely love. I mean, The Vampire Diaries never really fails when it comes to music. Throughout each season, they have some really good songs that just really match the setting and the storyline. Lots of comments saying that they enjoyed seeing a different Stefan. So up until now, we've only seen this overly obsessive, brooding Stefan, a serious Stefan, whereas we get to see a different personality. And lots of praise for Paul Wesley, saying that he was really good at acting as this new Stefan. And of course, as usual, lots of love for Damon. You know, Damon is a fan favorite. I mean, he's so humorous. I mean, he's full of humor. He's the villain, but he's the villain that's not technically the really bad villain. And also got some comments saying, you know, wondering where Bonnie is. And it's been 4 episodes since Bonnie's gone. And since Bonnie's gone, the witch storyline, the whole mystery about witches has just completely disappeared. It's completely been turned into like just tomb vampires and founding family drama for now, but we will get some witch drama at the end of this season. So as for trivia, there wasn't actually that many trivia facts. The only ones were about John Gilbert, which I found. So of course, this was the first appearance of John Gilbert, and as he was not permanently killed by Damon, he will be back in future episodes. He'll be back in the next episode. Interestingly, John seemed to have known that Catherine wasn't in the tomb, so he has lots of knowledge combined, more than the founding families and Damon and Laurie combined. He seems to have the most knowledge. Damon guesses in this episode that John is Elena's biological father because of his connection with Isabel. Whether this is going to be confirmed or not, we will find out in future episodes. And So basically what we found out this time is there's 2 Gilbert rings. John had one, his brother had one. He gave away his ring to Isabel, which of course was then passed down to Alaric. And so the one that John is wearing is his brother's. So I'm thinking that, you know, John seems to be really serious when it comes to family history and passing it down to generation to generation. We saw that with the apothecary. He didn't want it sold. He wanted to keep it in the family. And we also saw with him talking to Jeremy that he wants to teach him about his knowledge. So I'm guessing that he's going to want that ring back from Alaric and is probably going to ask for it because he wants to he wants Jeremy to inherit it, which I guess is understandable, seeing as it is a family heirloom. And so that's the end for trivia facts. So my final thoughts for this episode is I absolutely loved it. I'm becoming so repetitive, but these later episodes, like the from this episode to the end of season one, every single episode is jam-packed. I love it. The next episode in particular is actually one of my favorites throughout this whole season, season one. Just everything, you know, the music, like I said, the music was very nostalgic. I loved it. The aesthetic of the Founders Hall, loved that too. The storyline, you know, so much is going on at the same time. And I really think that this episode title, Under Control, it's not just about Stefan. You know, initially I mentioned how it's mainly probably about Stefan, you know, Stefan not being under control of his addiction to human blood, his need to drink human blood and not being able to stop. It's not just about Stefan. You know, when watching this episode a couple of times, I realized it's about pretty much most of the cast. It's also about Tyler. You know, Tyler has some underlying anger issues. Whether they're supernatural or not, it's not being confirmed yet, but he clearly doesn't have that under control. Damon, you know, Damon is starting to really settle into Mystic Falls, blend in. He's made some friends, getting along with Liz, part of the Founders Council. But he had everything under control, but that's going to be messed up now because of arrival of John Gilbert. And then finally, Elena. You know, Elena, in a way, she was manipulating her situation, separating her vampire love life to her normal life with her family and friends. She had it all under control, but now the lies are starting to crack. Jeremy's found her diary, so she doesn't have the situation under control anymore. So I really think that this title, it's not just for Stefan and his problem with blood. It's about practically every single member of the show. Every single storyline was crucial to the plot, really interesting. Of course, Elena and Jeremy, you know, Jeremy concealed the fact at the end that he read Elena's diary, so it's not just Elaine that's good at lying. I think Jeremy's pretty good at hiding things too, seeing as he's hiding the fact about Anna and that Anna is a vampire. Damon was full of humor as usual. And, you know, Stefan's issue with blood, it seems to be an ongoing issue. We ended the previous episode with him drinking loads of blood and then started this episode of him getting it under control, only for him to relapse again. So this is going to be a problem, especially now that John Gilbert is here and he knows about the vampires. It's really the worst timing ever for Stefan to have a relapse, and Damon's going to have to settle things by himself or team up with his new ally, Alaric. So yeah, John Gilbert really brought a lot to the show, and John Gilbert really brought a lot to this episode, and with him appearing, it's really stirred things up. It stirred the peace, I guess, that was going on. For Tyler, you know, the fact that they keep showing that Tyler has these anger issues and keeps fighting, it doesn't seem like a coincidence. Like, it's not just one time. We see it every time he appears, actually. So, I don't want to comment anything. I know some of you guys are first-time watchers, so I do know the reason why he has anger issues, but I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah. We'll find out in future episodes. Let's just say that. Kelly is gone. So we saw at the end of the episode that Matt had packed her bags and told her to leave, and she does actually leave. So from the next episode, there is no Kelly. And I mean, she was entertaining in her own way. She'd probably be like one of those funny, cool characters, but it's because that she has a son and she had a daughter and that she was a mother and she was neglecting them. That's what made me dislike her, which means there's only Matt left. And obviously he has an absent father, and it just really gets me wondering how he's allowed to live by himself and pay these bills. Like, isn't there a law or something? Like, isn't there child protection services or something? You know, I really don't get it. I've changed up my least favorite character segment and renamed it to characters I want to stake and characters I want to turn. For characters I want to turn, I'm gonna go for number one is Damon, because the scene between him and John Gilbert, it was just such an epic scene. It was such a cool scene. I love his dry humor. So Damon is definitely a character I'm turning. This is really difficult because I just love all the characters. It's so hard to choose. But I think I'm just going to go for Damon for this time. Let's just go for Damon. And then for characters that I want to stake. So I listen to lots of other Vampire Diaries Rewatch podcasts just because I'm personally obsessed with TVD and I just want to consume as much content as possible. And it appears that John Gilbert seems to be a really unpopular character. And I admit, when I first watched the show, I hated John and I was pissed off that he's going to start stirring things up and reveal Damon and Stefan's identity. But after rewatching it many times, I actually like that he comes onto the show. He brings more drama, he's entertaining. And in a real life situation, he wouldn't be the villain because technically he just wants to protect his town and his family. It's just because we feel for these vampires that we're on their side. So he's not actually a character that I want to stake. I think characters I want to stake would be Kelly and Richard. So for Kelly, I get that she is, you know, depressed. She's in shock. She's sad. She's in grieving about her daughter. If this was a one-time thing where she'd slipped up, I'd get it. But we've seen that she has these issues with men and alcohol and neglecting her children. So I just felt enough was enough. Matt would clearly do better without her. She's only a burden to him. So staking Kelly, and she's actually leaving the show. So no more Kelly. And for another character, Richard. I just don't like Richard. I really don't like Tyler's dad. Don't like the mayor. So staking him off the show. So that is the end of today's episode, season 1, episode 18. The next episode, season 1, episode 19, is called Miss Mystic Falls. The next episode is one of my favorite episodes of the season. As you all know by now, I am a Delana shipper. I love Delana. And this next episode that you will see, it has a very iconic moment between Damon and Delana. Don't worry, it's not like they're going to get together or anything. Obviously, you know, storyline-wise, that wouldn't happen that quickly. But it's one of those scenes that you see in, like, countdowns of like best TVD moments, best Delana moments, like it's in there, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Oh my gosh, I'm actually gonna watch it after recording this episode, so looking forward to that. And good news for Caroline and Bonnie fans, Caroline and Bonnie will both be back in the next episode, so you can look forward to that as well. So yes, please join us next Sunday, where we will cover season 1, episode 19 of The Vampire Diaries. And it just feels so much more better to be covering Vampire Diaries content. I don't know why, but when I cover these other vampire movies, it doesn't really feel like at home to me. Whereas when I'm talking about The Vampire Diaries, it's just my comfort show. It's my passion. So I've probably talked for over an hour again today. So apologize for that. Rate, review this podcast, share this podcast with anyone who loves The Vampire Diaries. It would really mean a lot to me. Go follow us on at The Mystic Podcast for any podcast updates. If you want to connect with me personally and talk about The Vampire Diaries, my personal Instagram is at It's The Lucy Kate. I'm going to end this episode with my favorite song, which was Paramore, Brick by Brick. I did want to add the Katy Perry song as well that was played. It's a really old school early days Katy Perry song, but fortunately it's not on Spotify or anything. So yeah, I'm just gonna end this song with Brick by Boring Brick, and I will see you next Sunday.